I've entitled the message this morning, Resurrection Power, Arise and Shine. Because not all people, not all Christians are shining Christians. Some are quite dull, dark, blank. Father, just help us now, because you have to speak, not me. You use this feeble vessel up here as a messenger, but it's your voice people need to hear. May we have ears to hear what you say to this congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, the great missionary, who was once an enemy of the cross of Christ, persecuted the Christians, had them murdered and imprisoned. In his own words, he wasted the church of Christ. But all that guilt, all that shame was washed away by the blood of Jesus. And he writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in him. That's, I want to be found in Christ on that day, on that last day, day of judgment. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. He was a Pharisee. And he kept the law probably almost perfectly. The Bible says no one is made just with God through trying to be good. None of us can be good enough. But that which is through faith in Christ. In order to be made right with God, we have to have the faith in Jesus that repents of sin, takes up the cross to follow him. So I want to be found in him, said the apostle, not having my own righteousness, which is filthy rags according to the Bible. Notice, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Not our sins as filthy rags, but our righteousness is as filthy rags, which come from trying to be good. But that which is through faith in Christ. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, God imputes the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of his Son, to that believer. And you can't add to that righteousness. You can't improve on that righteousness. You just want to abide in it. The righteousness, Paul writes, which is of God by faith. Now many people stop right there. They just want to get right with God, have their sins forgiven, and someday inherit and move into their heavenly home. But did the Apostle Paul stop right there? No, he did not. And neither should we. He goes on to say in the next couple of verses, after he said, I'm made just by faith in Christ, now he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. There's nothing more powerful than a dead person coming back to life. And also the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The power of his Christ's resurrection. You notice here that Paul speaks of the resurrection before he does of the crucifixion. He reverses it. That I may know the power of his resurrection and then being made conformable unto his death, which was crucifixion. Does he have it backwards? The crucifixion came first and then the resurrection. No, he doesn't have it backwards. He speaks of the resurrection power first and then the crucifixion. Why? Because only through Christ's resurrection power can one live the crucified life. Remember, Jesus said, if you would be my disciple, you must take up the cross, deny yourself, give up yourself, and follow me. So only through resurrection power can one live the true Christian life. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, St. Paul takes up the special works of faith, the struggle which the Spirit wages against the flesh, to kill off these sins and desires that remain after a person has been made just.
That's why the Apostle Paul cried out in Romans 7, a wretched man that I am. The things I hate to do, I do. Things I want to do, I don't do. He found his sins forgiven, but he still found the inner corruption was strong, bringing him into captivity to sin. Luther says he teaches us that faith doesn't so free us from sin that we can be idle, lazy, and self-assured, as though there were no more sin in us. Sin is there, but because of faith, that struggle against it, God does not reckon sin as deserving damnation. Therefore, we have in our own selves a lifetime of work cut out for us. We have to tame our body, kill its lusts, force its members to obey the Spirit and not the lusts. We must do this so that we may conform to the death and resurrection of Christ and complete our baptism, which signifies a death to sin and a new life of grace. Our aim is to be completely clean from sin and then to rise bodily with Christ and live forever. And that's why Paul said, I want to know his power, his power, his resurrection power, so that I can live a godly life. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up. And there are a lot of puffed up people. I don't mean overweight people like me. Okay? Puffed up spiritually. Proud people. They've got so many words. They've memorized scripture. They can preach. They can teach. They can sing. They can write. I don't want to know the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. You see, the power of the resurrection humbles us. It brings the fullness of Christ's life in the believer. For the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not because you claim to be a Christian. It's not because you made some confession. It's in power. Not in word, but in power. And that's why Jesus told his disciples. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Power from on high. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, wherefore he, God, saith, awake, thou that sleepest. And to whom was the apostle writing to the church? To the saints at Ephesus. Awake. See, Christians fall asleep. Spiritually fall asleep. They don't shine. They're dull. They're dark. They're boring. They're almost insignificant because they don't shine with the light. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Imagine saying that to a Christian. Because if you're sleeping, you're as good as dead. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. First, we have to awake, and then Christ will give us light. And Jesus, or God, said the same thing to the Old Testament church in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, first arise, and then shine. Are you shining, beloved? Are you a shining Christian? Does your shield of faith glisten in the sun? Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So both Old and New Testament churches were commanded to arise, to awaken, and to shine. There's a book in my library. I've had it for 40 years. Read it once 40 years ago, picked it up again recently, entitled, I Met a Man with a Shining Face. Not a smiling face. Everybody can smile, right? A shining face. This man was filled with God's Spirit. I'm just going to read to you a couple paragraphs. I met a man with a shining face, and I mean really shining. It was a face having a part of the glow of heaven and the glory of God. Let there be no mistake about it. My language is not mystical. I'm not thinking about the face of Moses as described in the scripture when he came down from the mount. Neither am I speaking of the face of the Lord Jesus when he was on Mount Transfiguration. And this man began to preach in his church about the fullness of God in a person's life. How Christ can fill every part of your life and there be no part dark, filled with resurrection power. And his church didn't like it. His church was determined
that they would not be disturbed by this young upstart who was daring to preach such radical notions among them. You see, many churches today just like the status quo. Just like to ease on down the road, you know. To the amazement of all concerned, the opposition did not silence him. And to their further amazement, their persecution did not sour him. When he was denounced, he did not fight back. And when evicted from the church, he quietly withdrew. On being told that in view of this heresy that he was teaching, the church could no longer support him, neither would the pulpit be open further for his ministry, he launched out into a deeper life with God. Why? Because he preached holiness. He preached sanctification. A man with a shining face. Arise and shine is a command that God commands. Not just to shine in church. Huh? It's very easy to shine in church. Okay? We put on that shine when we enter the doors. But under all circumstances. Awake unto righteousness. Arise and shine. Under any circumstance, the Christian can shine with the glory and the image of Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstance is. Notice what the apostle said to the Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring. See, when you complain, you're not shining. You've just stepped into darkness when you complain. Do all things without murmuring. The man with a shining face was the man who wasn't murmuring about anything, who was content in all things. As the Apostle Paul said, he learned to be content in every circumstance. Do all things without murmuring, complaining, and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Notice, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. God provides for us his glory, his spirit, so that we can shine among the most perverse situation in the midst of a crooked and perverse people. Student, if you're a Christian, you can shine when you're bullied in school. I was bullied in school. My mom never knew that, but for a few years, I was bullied because I'd wear a suit to school. I was in sixth grade. I have an attaché case. Okay? And I was the only one with a suit and attaché case in sixth grade. So, of course, the bullies, they flocked to me and they pushed me down, knocked my books, chased me around the school. Right? I tried to shine, but I didn't shine too well. I was filled with fear. Because I was kind of young, didn't really know yet about how to shine. But student, you can shine when you're bullied. You can shine when you don't get into the college you dreamed of. When you don't get that dream position and job after college, you can still shine. Business person, you can shine when your business loses business. You can shine when your competitor does better than you. Executive, you can shine when you don't get the promotion. You can shine when you get demoted, like Moses. Executive, you can shine when your boss has his favorites and you're not one of them. You can shine. Christian girl, some years ago, in our church, she came. She was very sad. She was anything but shining. Complaining. Because she was demoted at work. She was once a secretary, then she became switchboard operator. We can shine when we're demoted. Housewife, you can shine when the chores pile up. You can shine when the children misbehave. Husband, you can shine when your wife forgets to cook your favorite meal. Wife, you can shine when your husband forgets the anniversary. The farmer can shine when his crops burn in the sun, his flocks die because of drought. The Christian, you Christian, can shine when the devil tempts you. You can shine in the hospital, on the deathbed. You can shine through the power of God, through the resurrection power, under any circumstance. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And that gives light to all that are in the house, all that are in the hospital, all that are in the workplace, all that are in the dungeon, all that are in the school. Light everywhere, shining everywhere. That's what Jesus said it should be like. So let your light so shine. Everywhere. In the school, in the house, in the dungeon, in the poorhouse. Okay. Let it shine. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let it shine to all in the house, even if it's not a loving household. Let it shine to all those at school, even a public school. Now, it's a lot easier to shine in a Christian school. Even in a public school, you could shine. To shine to all in the office, even the guy who's after your job. To shine in your apartment building, even to your noisy neighbor, you can shine. John Wesley, evangelist, said, let your light so shine. What does it mean? Your lowliness of heart, your gentleness, and meekness of wisdom, your serious, weighty concern for the things of eternity, and sorrow for the sins and miseries of men, your earnest desire of universal holiness, including your own, and full happiness in God, your tender goodwill to all mankind, and fervent love to your supreme benefactor, that's God. Endeavor not to conceal this light, wherewith God has enlightened your soul, but let it shine before men. Before all with whom you are, in the whole tenor of your conversation, let it shine still more eminently in your actions, in your doing all possible good to all men, and in your suffering for righteousness' sake, while you rejoice and are exceedingly glad, knowing that great is your reward in heaven. Let your light shine. That's the resurrection power. Apostle Paul wanted more of that resurrection power, so he could shine more brightly. For ye were sometimes darkness, writes the Apostle Paul. But now, notice, you are light. You don't just carry the light. You are salt, said Jesus, and you are the light of the world, as we read. You are light in the Lord. It's his light. Walk as children of the light. Oswald Chambers said, you are the light of the world. We have the idea that we are going to shine in heaven, and yes, we will. But we are to shine down here. We are to shine here. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we are to shine as lights in the world in the squalid places. When you have to do the most miserable of tasks and no one thanks you for it, you can shine. And it cannot be done by putting on a brazen smile. The light must be there all the time. It must be a genuine light. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what happens when the Christian doesn't shine? What happens when we become dull, apathetic, lukewarm? When we're not seeking the fullness of God in our lives? Will God be glorified? We've been studying the book of Romans. We found out through many sources that Paul's reason, one of his many reasons, perhaps the primary reason for writing this book, the epistle to the Romans, was that there was conflict between the Jewish believers who had started the church and the Gentile believers who were converted under the preaching of the Jewish believers, converted to Jesus Christ. When the Jews were cast out of Rome, in Italy, the Gentiles took over. 5 years later, the Jews came back to the church and they found it no longer keeping Passover, no longer kosher. They found it totally Gentile-ish. And there was conflict between them. They weren't loving one another. Paul speaks of love to them, how they need to esteem one another more highly than themselves. They were not shining, the Roman Christians, the Jews and Gentiles. And what did Paul say to them? Notice, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles or nations through you. Not glorified. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, works of love, sacrificial works, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. But if we're not shining, here's what happens. The nations will blaspheme God. They will mock our God if we're not shining. Albert Barnes said, that is, your conduct is such as to lead the pagan world, the unbelieving world, to blaspheme and reproach both your religion and its author, that's God. By your hypocrisy and crimes, the pagan world is led to despise a religion which is observed to have no effect in purifying and restraining its professors. And of course, the reproach will terminate on the author of your religion, that is the true God. A life of purity would tend to honor religion and its author. A life of impurity does the reverse. So Paul wrote to the Romans, the world blasphemes God because you can't love one another. He also wrote to the Romans, in the Amplified version here, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, that's the fleshly nature, the sinful nature, the old nature, you will surely die. But if through the power, what power? The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Resurrection power. Charles Spurgeon said, a Christian man or woman should so shine in his life that those who come near him can see their own character in his life, such as their own sins. They can see their lost estate. He should so live that a person could not live with him a week without knowing the gospel. His or her conversation should be such that all who are about him should perfectly understand the way to heaven. Things that men will not see and cannot see without him should be very clear wherever he is, or the man or woman of God. Let your light so shine. Arise and shine. Through the power of Christ's resurrection, we can shine. Don't just stop at justification, having your sins forgiven. The Apostle Paul did. No, I want to know the power of his resurrection, so I can be made conformable to his death. So I can carry that cross in self-denial and not complain about my trials. Arise and be not afraid, Jesus said to his disciples. Arise to the resurrection power unto courage. Arise and take up your bed and walk, Jesus said to the man lowered down through the roof. Arise, take up your bed and walk. That's appropriate for many of us who like to sleep and stay in bed. He that loveth sleep shall come to poverty, the Bible says. I will arise and go to my father, said the prodigal son, and confess my sin against you, Father, in heaven. Jesus said to Saul on the way to Damascus, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what to do. We need to arise from our own wisdom and spend time beneath the feet of Jesus, seeking his wisdom, what to do in life. Arise and let's go to Jerusalem, said Jesus to his disciples. What was there? Crucifixion, torture, death. We need to arise, take up that cross. Arise in the night and cry out for your children, said the prophet Jeremiah. Parents, you need to arise and cry out for your children. Jeremiah also said, arise and prepare for battle. God has called us to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus. And to Solomon, the Lord Jesus said, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Arise and do what? Catch for us the little foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. They're so cute, aren't they? But here, the Lord is telling Solomon to kill them, because they're going to spoil your vineyard. And don't we have little foxes, little sins in our life that we think are so adorable and cute? We love them and we cuddle with them. They give us comfort, right? It's the little foxes that spoil the relationship with God. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine because our vines have tender grapes. That little fox of doubt, that little bit of doubt, will spoil the tender grapes of faith. That little fox of greed and avarice and love of money will spoil those tender grapes of generosity. Those little foxes of jealousy and envy will spoil the tender grapes of contentment. That little fox of lust will spoil the grapes of holiness. That little fox of sloth and laziness will spoil the grapes of industry and working and laboring for Christ. Those little foxes of hatred and anger will spoil the grapes, those tender grapes of love. You know, those little foxes just dawned on me this week, where Christ is telling us all about that little leaven that leavens the whole loaf. That little sin that grows and grows unless it's nipped in the bud. And as I was reading this, arise, my love, my fair one, come away and catch for us those little foxes which spoil our vines, our grapes. I said, wait a minute, this answers a question that has troubled people in John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away, is cast into the fire. And people have been wondering, how can a branch in Christ not bear fruit? How is it possible? The little foxes. That person who's in Christ does not catch the little foxes. They don't cast out the leaven of their lives, that little leaven. And eventually, the grapes, the fruit is gone. That answers that age-old question. How can a branch in Christ not bear fruit because the little foxes were allowed to play and to run amok in the vineyard? God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah and said, if you have raced with men on foot, referring to actually fighting the infantry, and they have worn you out, if you get worn out fighting a foot soldier, how can you compete with horses or the cavalry? How can you compete with cavalry if you can't handle the footmen? If you stumble in a safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the River Jordan, by the marshes? Let me put that in more modern terms if I could. If you can't handle the infantryman, if you can't handle the guy with the small caliber rifle or machine gun, if you can't win over him, what are you going to do when the cavalry comes, when the heavy armor comes rolling down upon you? If you can't catch the little foxes, they're just going to get bigger and bigger. And they're going to call their friends in. Hey, this vineyard owner, he doesn't care about his grapes. Come on, let's come on in. We're going to feast today. And soon that branch will lose its fruit, be cast into the fire. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, we then as workers together with him, and you, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins, you've gotten off the broad road, which leads to destruction, you've gotten on the narrow road that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ, you must consider yourself a worker together with him. You also are a minister. May not be a pastor, but you can be a minister. You minister love, you minister in good works, in words to people. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also, writing to the church in general, you receive not the grace of God in vain. Many, many have received the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I rescued you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything. as being blameless, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, labors, watching, fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, as patience, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith. That's resurrection power. To live like that, you need resurrection power. I need resurrection power. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor. I mean, when you're dishonored, you take it patiently. By evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet being true. Called the deceiver, called the liar, called the hypocrite, and yet being true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. That's the abundant life. That's what that preacher was preaching about and got kicked out of his church. That you can have the abundant life. It's not a life of material wealth or health. It's the fullness of God. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. So how do we get that shining face? How do we arise and shine? Where do we go? Well, we go to Christ, but we go to His Word. As the Apostle Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's more sure than any prophetic voice. More sure than a vision, more sure than anything, the Word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed. Notice, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, dark places of our heart. Are there any dark places in my heart? Yes. I don't want them to be dark. Are there any dark places in your heart and your mind? Doubt, covetousness, greed, spiritual sloth, pride, anger, hatred. As a light that shines in a dark place. Notice, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star. The star that is so bright it can be seen in the daytime. That's Christ. In other words, pour yourself into the Scriptures. Know the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Don't casually read it. Don't give them a minute here and there. Take heed to this more sure word of prophecy. And the day star will begin to arise in your hearts. God said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say these words recorded in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Why are we, as leaders, as Moses was, to pray that God's face shine upon the congregation so that we, including myself, can shine for Him. Live a shining life. Arise and shine. Beautiful little, or a few stanzas from a poem by John Wesley. Grace we implore when billows roll. Grace is the anchor of the soul. Grace every sickness knows to heal. Grace can subdue each fond desire, and patience in all pain inspire, however rebellious nature swell. O love, our stubborn will subdue, create our ruined frame anew, dispel our darkness by thy light, into all truth our spirit guide, and from our eyes forever hide all things displeasing in thy sight. Be heaven even now our soul's abode, hid be our life with Christ in God. Our spirit, Lord, be one with thine. Let all our works in thee be wrought, and filled with thee be all our thought, till in us thy full likeness shine. Till your likeness shine. I trust you will not just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to have your sins forgiven,
believe further, as the Apostle Paul did, that you can be more than a conqueror. And when the Apostle Paul wrote the Romans, he said, I'm going to tell you my gospel. I'm going to share my gospel with you. But they were already saved, because we think the gospel is just Jesus died for our sins. Somewhere throughout history, it's been perverted that that's the only part of the gospel. But Paul writes to them also in Romans, you sin shall not have dominion over you because you're under grace. That's also the gospel, because the gospel means good news. The good news comes in two parts, basically. The violent sinner, the fornicator, the murderer, the thief on the cross, to him Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The drug addict, the drug dealer, the human trafficker, the vilest person, repenting of their sins, can find forgiveness and their sins washed away. That's gospel 101. And then gospel 102. Don't let sin have dominion over you. You're under grace. When they took that woman, the Pharisees brought that woman who committed adultery, brought her before Jesus. They were going to stone her, weren't they? They weren't just pointing out that she sinned. They were going to execute her because of the crime, punishable by death. Jesus forgave the woman, and he said to her, go and sin no more. I've forgiven you, now go and sin no more. The gospel is in two parts. Sin's forgiven, and you can live a holy life. And I want to close with a hymn. We'll stand and close with this old hymn. I'm not sure we've ever sung it here before. Just Dale and I will close. Do it. And the reason why I chose this hymn is because five times the author says, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. If you want to shine, if you want to be a dull, boring, really good for nothing Christian, not bringing glory to God, losing your fruit because you let the little foxes have their way, you can do that. But if you want to shine, you have to yield your whole life, surrender your whole life to Christ. Let the Holy Spirit take control. Start hunting down those little foxes. Cast out the leaven from your life. Moment by moment, it starts with dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine. You know, the thief on the cross, again, both thieves mocked Jesus, the Bible says. Matthew says they both mocked him. But then Luke tells us one thief, well, he got off the wrong road, the broad road. He got on the narrow road. He believed. And he said to the thief, his comrade in thievery, we indeed deserve this. We deserve this condemnation. Dying with Jesus by death, reckon mine. Now that thief, he didn't come up with this all himself. He heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Romans who nailed him. The Sanhedrin, the Jews that cried, crucify him. The disciples who fled from him. The thief probably never heard such words of tender love before from the lips of a man who was in extreme pain and dying at the hand of those he was speaking to. And it was that love that drew that thief to believe. Dying with Jesus by death reckon mine. That's where it starts. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. What does that mean? Looking to Jesus till glory does shine. Let's sing this. Dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine, moment by moment, I
in his love. Moment by moment I've life from above, looking to Jesus till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he doth not bear, never a sorrow that he doth not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a heartache and never a groan, never a teardrop and never a moan, never a danger but there on the throne. Moment by moment, he thinks of his own. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a weakness that he doth not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal. Moment by moment, in war and will, Jesus my Savior abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine.
Let's pray. Lord, if we are wise, we will follow the Apostle Paul in his journey from being a failing Christian, a sinning Christian, to a holy Christian. Yes, the potential to sin is always there. But yet, through Christ, we can be more than a conqueror. We can run this race with patience as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Lord, we can shine. We are commanded to shine. We need to shine. The world needs to see and hear of Christians who are filled with God. Lord, perhaps we're running near empty on your Spirit and your presence. And we are told by Jesus that if we as earthly parents, being sinful, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? We have to seek you in faith, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit. As the Apostle Paul said, be not drunk with wine through excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And may we, Lord, set ourselves on this wonderful journey of living a sanctified, holy life. And Lord, if there be anyone here today that is not right with you, they can be right with you through faith that repents of their sin. But they also heard today that they need to take up that cross in self-denial and follow you, for they cannot be your disciple. That without holiness, the Bible says, no man, no woman shall see God. Not as a loving father, but as a judge. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Lord, we can live holy lives through Christ. In our own selves, Lord, we can be nothing but unholy, impure. But through Christ we can be holy. We look to you, Jesus. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. In his name we pray, amen. God bless you and have